Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 34, and then 46 through 55. Let us listen to the word of God. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What do you want for Christmas? It's probably the most asked question of the season. We try to find the perfect present, especially for our immediate family, but even for teachers and doctors and pastors, and the list goes on. Often we try to get something they want, and we seek to find something that's meaningful as well. Somehow those handmade presents have more of an impact on me. According to one article, more than half Americans admit they plan to rack up debt this season. So the holidays is a time of giving and receiving and overspending. In college, my brother and I moved from gift giving to giving gift cards. There was one time I'd forgotten to get him even a gift card. So at the last minute, I wrote him a check. Somehow the next year we decided not to exchange checks. Like many of you, I play the same game, so I'm not pointing any fingers. It's just the way it is around here. But as we read and study Scripture, we should reframe our question from "What do you want for Christmas?" to "What do you need for Christmas?" So far, we've looked at some influential characters: Joseph, Mary's husband, and Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary's cousins. So today, we're looking at Mary, Jesus' mother. And each of these members of Jesus' family tree has something to teach us about what we really need for Christmas this year. While Mary's an inspiring woman, she's also poor and young. She has no stature or wealth. She's engaged to be married, but as a woman, she counts little in her world. If Joseph divorces her, no matter how discreet, it would have threatened the reputation, her social status, and well-being of Mary and her child. When Herod's reign is threatened, he decrees every male child to be killed, which puts both Jesus and his mother at great risk. According to scholars, she's repeatedly threatened by the social, economic, and political power that various men in her world yield. As a young, poor woman in Nazareth, she's a nobody from nowhere. She's quite aware of this. She knows her place in the world, especially when she describes herself in Luke chapter 1, verse 48, as the lowliness of God's servants. And yet, she also knows a secret. She's discovered that God doesn't see her as the world does. She's discovered even the lowliest has found favor and has been blessed by God. And she's experienced this firsthand. What the angel tells her in Luke 1:37 is something she lives her life by. For nothing will be impossible with God. This nobody from nowhere lives into this truth, ignoring what the world tells her. And she listens solely to God, and she teaches this truth again and again to her son Jesus, for nothing will be impossible with God. Now, most people don't know this truth. It's a hard lesson to learn for many of us. Professional wrestler Mark Miro tried to teach this truth to middle schoolers. He told them about his mother. You see, in high school at sporting events, she would scream. She'd scream one of the loudest, and he was always embarrassed. But he knew that she believed in him. And when he was a teenager and a college student, he'd stay out late and with the wrong crowd. And every night, he'd come home late, and his mom waiting for him. Sometimes it was 2 or 3 in the morning. His friends pointed out, there's a light on. And he'd tell them, oh, man, my mother's up. He'd come in and she'd say, hi, Mark, how was your night? It was good, Mom. I'm going to bed. I haven't seen you all day and all night. I just want to, just please talk with me, Mark. Man, just leave me alone. You bug me. And he slams his bedroom door on the one person who believes in him. Many years later, he's on a worldwide tour in Japan, and at 3 a.m., he gets a phone call. On the other end, it says, Mark, I don't know how to tell you this. Just tell me. Mark, your mother died. And he throws down the phone. He just runs out of the hotel into the street. There were no cars. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. And he remembers looking up saying, Mom, I am so sorry. He flew home for her funeral and he was nervous to walk up to her casket. So he just stood way in the back. And he kept thinking to himself, Mom, please wake up. Please get up. And he finally gets up his nerve to walk up to her. And as he gets closer, he could see his mom for the first time. She was beautiful. She was dressed in white, he says. She looked like an angel. And he stands over her and he says to her, Mom, you're my hero. Everything I am, everything I hope to be is because of you. You loved me so much. You gave me life. You're the only one who ever believed in me. How did I repay her? He tells the middle schoolers, by getting drunk, by getting high, by getting stupid, by hanging out with losers. For what? All she ever wanted to do was talk to me. Why couldn't I be a better son? And he tells them, I lived a life filled with drugs and alcohol and pills, and that leads to broken hearts and broken relationships and death. My whole life was about being rich and famous. I had to be a millionaire. I had to win the race at the expense of my marriage, my family, my friends, to be all alone in this world. He learned what's truly important, how precious this gift of life is in our families, and how quickly it can be taken away. And he tells them, if you have a mother or a father, when you get home, tell them that you love them. It's not what's in your pockets that matters, it's what's in your heart that truly matters. Love. I wish you could see me now. He tells his mom, what I'm doing. It was a hard lesson for Mark to learn. It took her death and a lot of tough things to learn what really mattered for him, but his mom was still able to teach him these essentials. Now, Jesus learns the basics, the essentials from his mother. In Mary, God counters conventional expectations and structures of power. He learns from his mother, who's the lowliest, to notice the lowly. Jesus learns from his mother, who's poor, to listen to the poor. He learns that God puts down the mighty and raises the lowly, fills the hungry and sends the wealthy away empty. He learns that nothing is impossible with God. I imagine she lived this way. Most children do not learn by just being told. They learn best by example. She must have given to those in need. She listened and helped those who nobody else listened to. It's what Jesus does throughout his ministry time and time again. He notices the lowliest, the women and the children, the lepers and the blind. Jesus sees the poor and the destitute. He shares a drink with a Samaritan woman at the well. He hears the lepers when they call out to him for help. He tells the disciples to let the children come to him. His mother teaches Jesus to notice the nobodies of the world, the people with no power and no wealth, no advantage. And in reaching out to them, people take notice. And the impossible begins happening. God's kingdom is realized on earth. This is what we really need this Christmas. It's not about the somebodies of the world. It's about lifting up the lowly, helping someone who can never repay you, listening to someone who others ignore, helping the Marys of the world. Especially when the world is shouting loudly for help. When the world disrespects women and treats them like nobodies, when the powerful and wealthy are often the only ones at the table, just like Mary learned and Jesus taught, all we really need this Christmas is to know that we serve a God where nothing is impossible. Now, her faithfulness and willingness to go along with God's plan made her an important player in this Christmas story. It's her simple words. Let it be with me according to your word. Those words are echoed on the cross by Jesus. Not my will, but yours be done. Jesus learned Mary's secret. That God sees the nobodies and makes them somebodies. And that's why he died on the cross, to lift up the nobodies of the world. If Jesus sees the nobodies of the world as somebodies, then that means he sees everybody as somebody, you and me. The hurt, the needy, the lonely, and the sick. That's why Jesus was born, so much so that God defeats death itself for the nobodies of the world. For nothing is impossible with God. That's what we really need this Christmas, isn't it? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.